friends.
Hey, mamas.
Welcome to My Invisible Disease Podcast. We are here to share our struggles and hacks as two moms living with chronic illness.
Tune in and join our community as we share stories and experiences while we sort through the ups and downs of living with invisible disease.
Hey, Cassie.
Hey, girl. How are you?
Oh, good. Good. It's been a morning for sure. We actually got to talk to a new guest for an interview this morning too, which was really fun.
Yeah, Amanda Che. We had so much fun. Honestly, now that I'm looking back at it, I don't think we got like a lot of details on her, but we had a really good time.
But that's it. She is just someone that's so relatable and, you know, is really out to like share her own experience to help others. You know, she's still living at this point with lupus and I believe, like she said, that it's technically just an incurable autoimmune disease. Hey.
Yeah. So she just released her book, The Girlfriend's Guide to Lupus. So I think that our conversation with her was pretty reflective of she just wants to be there for people. She just wants to share her experiences and help you get through it.
Yeah. She went undiagnosed for 21 years. So, you know, someone that really has that deep understanding of getting diagnosed and those early years of, you know, looking for information, you know, the big old Google. that's where we all go, isn't it?
Absolutely. Every time. But then she also was able to help her daughter get an early diagnosis so she didn't have to live through all that. So long story short, I think people are really going to like this episode. It was fun.
Awesome. Okay, well, let's get to it.
All right. I think my story is probably similar to a lot of people who go through an autoimmune disease diagnosis, because lupus usually takes 5 to 7 years, which is a long time.
Oh.
But most likely mine took around 23 years because, okay, no, 21 years, because my first daughter, her name is Anna. I was very, very, very sick with her. And most likely that's what triggered lupus. But lupus progresses in stages and it progresses sometimes slowly. And so that's why it took me so long to go across the years. But you know what? I blamed a lot of myself in the beginning when I started to feel a lot of joint pain, right? Oh my gosh. I was a beast. I was an animal. You know, I was your triathlon, you know, CrossFit, these crazy, oh, jump on a box, carry my husband around the neighborhood. Yeah, sign me up, right? I was just wacko. So I blamed the pain on, you know, my lifestyle.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And then just eventually— to clarify, Amanda, so 21 yes. years to diagnosis.
Correct, yes.
Okay.
Yes, correct. So across the years, the pain got worse. And when I moved from Tampa to North Carolina, I was like, okay, this can't go on. Because I was teaching a bunch of workout classes and I just was crying in pain. And I went to a ortho who ran some blood tests and found out I had Sjogren's disease, which is an autoimmune disease that usually attacks the cells in your eyes and your mouth, right?
And you went for joint pain.
And then I went for joint pain. Yeah. Well, he was basically one of these. Oh, you're just getting older. And I'm like, screw you, you know, run some blood tests. I was not having it. I've always been a feisty person and about my health, I'm like a beast. So I learned I had that. But then my doctor kept asking me as I went to a rheumatologist these weird questions like, is your hair falling out? And I'd be like, what? No, it's not. Why? You know, I'd be really cautious. Or have you had any lung infections or, you know, is your chest hurt? And I would repeatedly be like, no. So I got really curious on why she kept asking me these things. And then she kept running these tests and she would just be like, okay. But then one time she's like, oh, this one test called an ANA. Oh, that's positive. Okay. I'm going to send you on to a lupus specialist. So when your specialist sends you on to a specialist, you know, you're like, ooh, that's not good.
Preach, so, girl. I know.
Yeah, I know. I'm like,
you're like, but it what? I thought.
Yeah, I know.
Why are you looking?
I thought we were so good together. So yeah. She was lovely, but it took me about 8 months to get in here in North Carolina to see my wonderful physician I have today, Dr. Cyrus Shaikh. But it took a long time. And in the meantime, I had to go through some room. A less desirable rheumatologist who was actually fired from her role that she was in with mine. But you know what? You guys may know the time when you have to have a physician care for you and that's all you get.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what I have. Yeah. But then she's the one who officially gave me my diagnosis. So the weird thing is that about 5 to 6 months later, my oldest daughter, the one that was so tough with me during pregnancy that made it so tough for me, she also has lupus too.
Wow.
So I waited.
Go ahead. Is that because you had like anything to do with her being in utero? And
No. There is a form of lupus called neonatal lupus, which is pretty rare. And the mother passes it on, but then it usually goes away pretty quickly. So what happened with Anna, like my issue was pregnancy that burst this out of my cells because lupus will hang out first as a gene variation. And then it needs an environmental trigger. So my trigger was pregnancy, and Anna's trigger, she was in college at the time, she had mono. And it was just so easy for me to see as a mom. I'm like, oh my gosh, you are a clone of me. Everything is going on with me. Even though lupus shows up unique, like a snowflake to everyone, being a mother and daughter combo, we are pretty darn similar. So she had, you know, I waited 21 years. She waited 5 months.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's amazing like what the family history can do, right? Like when you go there and you're like, listen, my mother has been diagnosed with this. Let's just skip to the chase. Like, let's,
I know, right?
Let's figure it out.
Yeah.
It's so much easier.
Yeah, it's so much easier.
Oh. Finish line is.
Yes. And I had no family history of this. You know, and the interesting thing is I'm in this great group counseling of women. This is fascinating. And I don't have any research behind this, just a little bit I did last night. But out of the group that I am in, 50% of us have an autoimmune disease, and we're all in it for traumatic childhood issues. Mm.
I mean, so, yeah. There is something
fascinating.
Learned wisdom and wisdom that comes from experience and, you know, community experience compared to just data on a scientific sheet.
Yes. Yeah. Well, I think they're beginning to study some of these connections between, we know women have a lot of autoimmune diseases, right? With lupus, 90% of the most common type are women. Mm-hmm. And so women, you know, like, ooh, what's going on with women? Well, we like to internalize a lot of things, right? We're the deep thinkers, where men may punch each other and get over it. Women, you know, certainly when women, childhood trauma and the stress that comes along with it seems to be pretty significant, which to me is fascinating. I never even thought of it to even put it in my book. And I just learned about it yesterday and I was like, wow, mind blown.
Hmm. Yeah, that's amazing.
That's a tricky one because trauma comes in so many different forms, you know, like whether it's something as normal these days as a divorce, that can be extremely traumatizing for a child.
Absolutely.
You know, you don't know how that's going to translate down the road. But then obviously beyond that everyday situation, there's so many terrible, terrible, terrible traumas that people carry with them. And whether it's mental illness that develops or autoimmune diseases, like you're saying, like you just have no idea how these things are going to carry with you your entire life.
Well, and perceived trauma as a child can be as much as not feeling good enough. Like it doesn't,
of course,
it doesn't have to necessarily have the stigma of like full on, you know, different forms of abuse either. Like it could be, you know, you were involved in a car accident and just were okay, but you came out with trauma and it, and again, it just wasn't processed through your body properly. The interesting thing, Amanda, is quite a few women that we've had on the podcast have talked about, you know, like trauma and connection with their disease, like autoimmune disease as well. So, you know, just more women speaking to that.
Mm-hmm. It's fascinating. You know, it really lets me think back to, you know, sometimes when we learn we're not healthy, right? My husband just had some high blood pressure, high cholesterol thing. So he's like, okay, I'm going to take the medicine and I'm going to start doing things, right? Like a reactive type of thing, but it really goes back to how we are and how we live our lives and being preventative as a nature. And, you know, yes, you know, your vaccines and stuff like that, but simple things like, do you go outside and walk every day? Do you look up at the sky? Do you manage stress? Do you find ways to just be present in the moment and eat the food you need to eat, right? All of these things are ways that we typically make it a reactive lifestyle when if we'd had this as a preventative, maybe we could have helped ourselves early on.
Well, and even just the idea that the way people used to live compared to now our modern society where, you know, you had to be outside because that was, you know, these were experiences that thousands of years of human experience have really just over the last 100 years completely shifted, completely changed. And we really are seeing, I mean, longer lifespans, but also disease that comes along with it. So,
Yes. It's an interesting time.
So that connection you just made yesterday, like just from that's
just last night where I'm like, wow, it was just fat. And yeah, and the counselor's like, oh yeah, I see it all the time with women. And I'm like, what?
Wow. Yeah, I maybe this is a trauma episode. I don't know. But I think that also, like, while we're kind of hovering around this word, like there's a huge trauma that comes from illness itself. Like I know for myself, like, my relationship with my body is completely different. Mm. Like, I have no trust for myself anymore. Like, I do not trust that my body is going to show up and do its job. And, you know, so for like, I just so badly want to go hike the mountains. And at the same time, I'm just like, oh my God, like, what if I can't get down? You know, like, what if I get stuck?
I am exactly there, Cassie. I got asked to go on a hike this week with a girlfriend, and I've been having, I mean, somewhat panic attacks, and I think it's just like I have polycystic kidney and liver disease, which in a weird, weird way, I believe still is an autoimmune. I mean, it is, but just not your classic autoimmune. And I've had panic attacks the last few times because the pressure builds up and it just shifts my body into like a fight or flight mode. And I'm scared to go hiking now. Like even low impact, because I don't, what happens if my body shuts down and I'm up the mountain? You know, it just, it really can bring on, trauma, anxiety, a whole bunch of different things.
But even on the small end, let's just say you just trip and sprain an ankle. We know, you know, with us dealing with chronic inflammation and things like that, you can go and take forever to heal.
Forever.
So you're like, you're weighing it. You know, that's why in the book I talked about a lupus diagnosis as a grieving process.
Yeah.
You know, that you have to go through the whole thing, no matter, you know, it doesn't have to be just lupus, but the idea that something has come into your body and limited you that you did not want, you know, you can't continue to go and do the things that were so fun before. Perhaps they look different, or perhaps you've had to change your whole output. I mean, it's a loss.
It's a loss. We've actually talked about having a guest on the show outside of this, of having a grief counselor, because I think that you do go through a lot of steps of grief. Like when you're kind of, number one, the unknown. Like when I didn't know what the hell was going on, I was grieving because I thought, well, I might be dead next year. Who knows? Mm-hmm. So you're faced with that. But then at the same time, you're like, okay, so now I have to live with this illness forever. Like what the hell does that even mean? Mm-hmm. So like grieving what you thought your future would look like, what you thought your relationships would look like. And then the reality of like, okay, actually, I like to nap a lot now.
Yeah. I remember like I thought I would just take my medicine. I've always been good. I do all these healthy things. I took my medicine and I'm like, what the hell? You know, it's still around. Just the finality of something, to have something that's called an incurable, you know, chronic disease is really sucky. And you know, I think also for me, it's been a big lesson on identifying with like, I have lupus, you know. In the book, I think I said like, don't offer me plastic bags. Don't you know I have lupus? Like, God, people, you know, like it became who I was. Yeah, and then quickly I'm like, I don't like that. That's no fun. I don't want to be like, hey, I'm Amanda and I have lupus. You know, that wasn't it. But it attaches to you for a while. Mm-hmm. It becomes your identity. You know, like on Instagram, I know I'm supposed to be there for, you know, book and things like that. But often I'm like, I don't want to talk about lupus. I just want to be like, here's a picture of a dog and I love it.
So how do you find yourself like moving forward with that? Because obviously like you're an entrepreneur, you're a mom, you're now an author and an advocate for your disease. How do you like separate yourself from like wearing your disease as a badge of honor versus like presenting yourself as, hey, it's just me. I'm Amanda and I'm here for a good time.
Yeah, that's a very good question. And I don't know if I have a complete answer for you yet. I would say when I was writing the book that I'm like, I'm going to write the book and then I'm going to send it out to the world and then I'm going to be done and I'm going to walk away. But my editor was like, no, you're going to do a disservice to women. And I like had never thought about it because it was just my plight, right? It was like my thing to churn out and to get rid of. So when I take myself out of the equation and I think like, what is my goal really? Which, you know, my goal in life really, whether it be through like holding the door open for someone or being like, hey, you know, lupus chick, you got this. My goal is really to help people. So I have to find my balance. I don't know exactly what my balance will be, but that's why I'm hoping, like, I think I just don't love social media. You know, like, is there some other way, right? Is there some other way that I can just impact people without, mm-hmm. But you know, I teach yoga, I do things like that. I go and I volunteer on lupus organizations and maybe that's going to be the way that I do it more. You know, I just, the constant in front of, you know, social mm-hmm. media just isn't my fave.
Well, and title of your, oh, sorry, Jenny, go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, like, I feel the exact same way, Amanda, with the social media. There's that fine line between wanting to share your experience and then also now you're having to show up for something that in a weird way is like, you're in front of a screen, not necessarily face-to-face connecting. However, the reach you will have, and I feel like a lot of people, because like we said, they internalize these diagnoses. Invisible disease is often just kept invisible to friends and family because no one really understands. It's an outlet for people too, because think about how much you may be like look on social media for other people. You're going to become one of those people. So, you know, just that people can connect with in their own way, and because it's a lonely path.
Oh, it's very lonely. Yeah. And I think that's a good point you make. So maybe if nothing else, if I continue down that path, may it just be who I am in whatever weird, quirky manner it is, you know, not like the all have it together, you know, kind of like the book where I'm like, look, I screwed up. Oh, here she is screwing up again. Yes, that's who she is, but maybe she learns a little bit from it.
Yeah.
Well, I have absolutely no insight for you because I still feel like I kind of live a double life. Like I'm very active on social media, but it's for my real estate business. I am there to do what I gotta do. And what I was saying is I'm super active and I'm pretty transparent on social media. However, that just shows you how unbelievably one-sided social media is. Like, especially like years past when, you know, I can't fucking walk. I'm literally like not able to get off the couch, but my video is me on the couch and the kids and we're smiling and we're laughing and everything's all good. So then Jenny and I had this amazing idea. Let's have our podcast. And I love social media. I'll promo the shit out of it. And it's kind of like a dirty little secret. I love our podcast, but at the same time, I'm just so sick of being sick that I don't even want to talk about it anymore.
Yeah.
Like, well, I don't want to be out there talking about it.
And I'll say something that might be, you know, I feel even in myself as a little controversial. Like sometimes because I am on lupus and I post about lupus, I read are all lupus related. And I'm like, oh my gosh, it's so much, right? It's like
just don't want to think about it.
Yeah. I'm like, so much. I don't want to think. I don't want to, you know, like, can we like separate ourselves from? And I understand that's people's identity. That's how sometimes people make a living. And I get it. It's just, I am very conscious of who is in my life. I am very conscious on what I read, what I listen to. Like in the car, there's no music because it gets stuck in my head and I will sing, you know, Beyonce all day long. So it's the same thing on social media. I have to be a wise consumer of all that I do.
Well, and I think there isn't necessarily, you know, it's a gray area. It's not black or white because there is, like we've been talking about, that place of identity while, you know, relating, while sharing. And it's different for everybody. And I struggle, like I go back and forth. Sometimes I deep dive and am hardcore and I'm like, I'm going to heal myself. And then the next day I'm sitting there eating a bag of chips being like, there's like this. Yeah, fuck this.
Like, you're a human woman.
Why should I have to do that? Like, did all this change everything? And I'm a good person. This, you know. So there's Pope Fest too. And then you forget about it sometimes. Like when you're you don't have major symptoms, you sometimes forget you even have chronic illness. So
how nice is that? How nice is that?
Yeah.
So what changed for you? What was the TSN turning point? Like when were you like, enough is enough, pen to paper. I am going to be the girlfriend's guide to all things lupus.
I know I always wanted to write a book. So that was one. I didn't know what, you know, you would think of these stories all the time. My husband's Asian, so I would think of, oh, those crazy Asians, right? I'm like, I'm going to write a whole book about this. And then the Crazy Rich Asians came out and that was blown away. So I think it was just literally walking the dog one day. And I'm like, I'm going to write this book because I realized that I could be much worse. Right. I've gone on, I don't know if you guys are on any of your Facebook groups, but there's a Facebook group for lupus where there's like 60,000 people and it's scary. Like, hey, I lost 8 teeth today. And I'm like, what? Like these things blew my mind. And I have no idea what the hell's going on with that person. You know, I don't know where they came from, but I realized very quickly that I could be a lot worse and I probably could be better. And so my place in the middle and my habits that I had done all of my life really supported me. And I think that's what allowed me to be like, okay, I don't do anything crazy, but I do things that are really important. And if people learn that these things aren't like a fancy program or a shirt, or you have to wear a hat or eat exactly this, that maybe then they would be willing to give it a try. And really showing that I was, you know, just like them, like I screw things up. And in the book, you'll see, you know, I mess things up one time with many times, but one time I talked about with my daughter, we're in Italy, you know, I was a jerk to her then. And then I learned to do better. And I think we just have to give ourselves the grace to screw it up, to do something wrong, and then be like, okay, I can get back on. I can learn something new. I can make these changes and they impact us. Because as we know with anything, whether it be lupus or any other disease out there, the healthier we are, the more manageable that disease will become.
And so you talk about different ways that you've learned to manage. When you did get your diagnosis, where did you find resources on lupus? And can you talk about that?
Yes, there's this thing called Google. Google gives you a lot of information, a lot, but it's not always
more
that great.
Than you want sometime.
Yeah. You know, I'm like everyone else. I'm like, Google, lupus. But lupus is weird. If you know too much about lupus, I'll give you just a bit. So it shows up so different for different people. Like some people might just have this butterfly rash, which we might think of. Some people may lose a kidney, like Selena Gomez. Some people may die from it. I mean, that's a wide gamut. So when you look online, it's just kind of like, you know, a little of everything or a little bit of nothing. And so you don't know. So I have, I can see right here in bookcases, a bunch of lupus books. I read all these books and I still did not really get the gist of what I was up against. And I think that's why I wrote the book, because I wanted to be like, girl, sit on the couch next to me. Let's really talk. You know what? Yeah. I'm going to drink some tea. You can drink your wine and we're going to, you know, spill the beans and we're going to talk shit about this sucky lupus so that someone could feel heard and understood, because as you mentioned, it is such a lonely, lonely time.
Mm-hmm. Well, and even coming back to like, yeah, Selena Gomez, it's like when you Google lupus, that's one of the big headlines. Mm-hmm. That for me, being someone with kidney disease, was like, wow, there's someone that like presents as perfect in the world that actually needed to get a kidney transplant, which, you know, I found that relatable. And it made me feel, I mean, a little bit better of like not being alone. But that was my extent of as far as knowledge about lupus. So
that's okay. You know, that's most people's. Because, you know, when the media isn't interested in something so vague that we don't have scientific fact, you know, oh, you may have this, you may have that. We don't, you know, like no one.
Hence, it's all grouped into autoimmune and just left at that.
So whenever if someone would say like, you know, if I tell them about lupus, they'll be like, oh, Selena Gomez. And I'm always like, and we just leave it at that.
Yeah.
You know,
we actually buy it together.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, really. I gave it to her. They'll be like, think positive, you know? You know, I'll pray for you. Hey, here's my chiropractor. She'll heal you. You know, like all this, you know, bullshit that you're like, thanks a lot.
Yeah. Oh, man, all the fun suggestions that you get along the way of drink this, it'll fix it. It helped with someone else's something. And I'm like, I mean, I'm past even appreciating the...
Okay, Jenny, you say that, but then the two of us are like, we put fucking castor oil on everything and it will heal you.
But that's
because we tried it. Yeah. We tried it.
We've tried everything. Yeah.
There were a few chapters in the book that I had put like, they're just for caregivers. Like, do not say this, you know, don't say this. The toxic positivity, like, you know, everyone's uncomfortable and they don't want to hear that you're sick. You look fine. So just like, don't bother me with your illness. So they're going to be like, hang in there, you know, and it's not helpful. It's not helpful because you only feel weak. God, I must be weak. I must not be able to do it right. They're right. You know, they're right. I'm just not strong enough for this. You know, you just doubt yourself, and that's not what you need.
So, Amanda, where are you now managing your illness? Like, because it's been, how many years has it been since you've been diagnosed?
Officially, it's just been 2 years.
2 years. And then 21 years previous to that, you were suffering from symptoms and living diagnosed. Yes. Mm-hmm. Where are you now with your actual management?
I think I'm in a good place, right? I always feel so hesitant to even say, like,
knock on wood.
I'm doing okay. Yeah. Doing okay, right? You just never, you know, you don't know. But yeah, I feel at this moment right now, I feel pretty good. I have an oral medication I take every single day. I take an injection to the stomach. I take hydroxychloroquine, so Plaquenil. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of the gold standard. You can take it your whole life. And then my injection I do in my stomach is a biologic, which is called Benlysta. And that helps decrease somewhere right around 30% for flares. And flares are the big things with us. You know, I imagine with a lot of people, the flares can really, really do permanent damage to the body. So the best thing we can do is manage the symptoms and try to decrease flares and not take that sucky prednisone.
Yeah.
It's like a trigger word for me.
I know, right? Oh, it's the worst. I did ask I don't know if it was an oncologist at a conference. And I'm like, hey, there's got to be something new coming up from prednisone. Tell me there's some. He's like, there's nothing. That's the art. Best we can do. And I'm like, oh, it's terrible. It's terrible.
It is terrible.
My day after transplant. I'll be on prednisone. Not there yet.
Like long term.
No, you have, like, cute little squishy cheeks. So when you get
my face will be like this big after, because I already have big cheeks.
Oh, you mean what I looked like for 4 months? Yeah,
I actually, I was just watching a video from an interview we did last summer, and man, it really, like, now that I see you, it was so gradual. I mean, it was quick, but not overnight kind of thing.
Yeah.
And now I see you, I'm like, oh, there was a big difference.
Totally.
No,
you were on it for 4 months. Woo.
Oh, no. I was on prednisone for September, October, November, December,
January. Pretty much almost a year.
10 months.
Yeah.
And like a lot of it.
Yeah.
How did you sleep? Did you not sleep for 10 months?
I smoke a lot of weed.
Good. All right. Good.
The time. Perfect.
Yeah.
I was like, should I stop this? And she's like, are you sleeping? I was like, yep. She's like, no.
Damn it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was in Canada. I was in Alberta, actually, the day when Canada became legal. And it was like this. Like, it was like, I'm like, oh, these Canadians are the best. The best. I was up in, like, Jasper. So, you know, we were chill there.
Everyone was high there, too. Don't worry.
Yeah, I know, right? I'm like, these people are. The news was like, a dog escaped, but we caught it. That was the only news. And then, like, weed was legal. I'm like, I need to live here. It's the best country ever.
Yeah. Rabbits have taken over, like, Canmore, Jasper. That was it.
Yeah.
It's pretty intense here sometimes.
Yeah, sometimes.
It is in the U.S. too.
Yeah, we're a little bit less than the States, for sure. I mean, as far as the headlines that we see come through.
Bless. That's what they say in the South. We're in the South. Bless.
Yeah. For after transplant, they used to keep people on prednisone, like, really long term, but now they wean people off. So I'm just
good.
And I tend to try to wean myself off anyway. Mm. So, it's, you know, you try anything.
And you're still looking.
We just think we're better and know more than doctors. Like, oh, I don't need to be on that anymore.
Like, I just know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
No, I just.
Angles.
Yeah. Like 3 weeks ago.
Oh, yeah.
And I was like, I probably shouldn't be taking methotrexate because it's like an immunosuppressant and I'm trying to fight a virus. So I called my doctor and I was like, I should go off of this, right? She's like, yeah. Like, you haven't had a flare up in a long time. Like, you should be okay. And I'm like, I haven't been on in a while. Maybe I just won't go back on it.
Yeah.
But also, I don't know. It's been a while since I went to med school. So.
Maybe you just, if nothing else, tell your doctor that.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. And then if he or she's like, yeah, okay, then you're like, all right. And if they feel visceral, you know, one other way, they'll let you know.
Yeah. I factually went for blood work this past week and my kidney function has come up 10%. And I weaned myself off two of my three blood pressure meds. I still have high blood pressure, but I had no energy. I couldn't make it through the day because the side effects of the blood pressure meds. So I've been feeling better and my kidney function came up. So I'm like, yes, me.
Yeah.
Let's hope there's no long-term side effects of this.
Yeah.
And my team does know because they were, I had informed them along the way. But
I thought you could tell your doctor. And let me tell you what you need to do.
Yeah, yeah.
Patients.
We all know but, castor oil, Jenny.
I've been doing a lot of alternatives. I'm taking some dog dewormer this week. So we'll see how that goes. Yeah.
Did you get it from the vet?
No, online. Amazon?
Of course, Amazon.
Great time for the statement because we are not medical professionals. You're not here to give anyone medical advice.
Yeah.
And this is just for shits and giggles. Please don't sue us. Right.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, getting back to Amanda and your journey. Okay, so now, how long did it take you to write your book?
It took me from start to finish, book in my hands, like 16 months.
Oh, that's pretty quick.
It's like a beast. You told anyone, hey, lady, why don't you spend 40 hours or more a week crying and researching and writing for, 16 months and only pay money to write a book?
Yeah.
You'd be like, oh, hell no. Yeah. But I didn't know. I'm very grateful. The fact that I just stubbornly began without doing no research. Only thing I ever Googled was how many words are in like a nonfiction book. That's it. I mean, I didn't even know when I turned in my first draft. I didn't even have like an outline, like, oh, chapter 9. Like, I didn't have any of that. So, I mean, it's
just learning as you go. Well, yeah. And I'm sure it's pretty cathartic for you to release a lot of that, experience, like, because you're getting it out, right?
Yes. Yeah. It was very, very cathartic. I learned so much about myself. I learned where there were weaknesses. I went through, put myself in different types of counseling, and hence that group counseling as well. It was like the most intensive thing I have done when I was writing a book for someone else. And how did it end up so much, about my journey? But from what I've learned, I think that's very similar to a lot of people who decide to be an author.
And then you just launched just this month.
Yes, yes.
So it is officially released on Amazon.
It is. It's available.
So we'll include this in the show notes just for anyone that is listening, that's looking for the resources of trying to find the book. Can you just kind of send the listeners in a direction where they can find you online and where for the actual to purchase the book?
Yes. If you want to purchase the book, you may buy it on Amazon for now. And you can find me on Instagram at Amanda E. Chay, which is C-H-A-Y. And don't you know, the website AmandaChay.com was available. Now I own it.
Amazing.
And there's, I know, what a rarity. And you can go there to find out more information as well.
Awesome. And then
before you leave,
yes.
I got a game for you.
Oh, good. I love games. I'm ready.
Okay. So have you ever heard of the game Marry, Fuck, Kill?
Yes. Okay. Of course I have. Duh.
Okay.
I love the word fuck.
The impression that it might be a Canadian thing, but we've now realized.
No.
Okay. So we kind of modified it. So it's a little bit more about like your health journey, products you love, self-practices that you love, self-care practices, things like that. So Marry is like your tried and true, always pulls through for you. Like that's your favorite thing. Cheat is guilty indulgence. So like something that you do a little bit more on the trendy side. And then kill is pretty self-explanatory.
Okay.
Let's start with your Mary. What are you loving forever and ever?
Tea. Hot tea. Mm. Yes.
I've really been getting back into tea lately.
I'm like, oh, this is not 175 degrees. Oh, you soaked your jasmine leaves too long. Like, I know tea.
A tea snob.
And they're like, a tea bag. I'm like, as if. Get that tea back. Yeah, so Mary is definitely tea. What's another Mary? Nature. Almost. Nature. So healing. Being outside, pulling a leaf, walking with a dog. Absolutely.
Preach. I get it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's my time to decompress and just breathe. I'm allergic to everything, but like while I...
Oh, yeah, yeah. My nose runs. I'm like this.
Yeah.
But still.
Cassie's the only person I knew that didn't have a floral bouquet for her wedding because she's allergic to flowers.
I know.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a bummer.
I asked myself, why would I spend money on flowers? I'm literally allergic to them. I will be sneezing.
Your eyes.
On medication all day. And
yeah. Yeah. Understandable.
Okay. So Mary is outdoors and tea. What are you like super into? What are you?
Okay, I just cheated. I've never watched a series, promise, but I did just watch the whole, I know this isn't health related, but I'll give you health related next. I did just watch the whole series of The Real Housewives of New York because I love Jenna Lyons. Ooh. Although I don't like, catty women really are rough for me. Like I told you, I protect my energy. What's another health cheat? It's not a massages. I mean, I do a massage all the time. So is that cheating? I don't think so. Would eating some sugar when you know you shouldn't eat it be a cheat? Okay. Yeah.
So we'll just call it a slight indulgence.
That's right. Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Do you guys have suffer from chronic pain? Then like massage is actually a necessity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I know. It seems like it's so like, I'm going to have my massage, but he's like, brings an elbow into me and I'm like, yeah, I can barely like survive. To me, that's
it's work. That's a cheat.
I don't know if it is, but it is. My one thing I cheat on, which seems like I can straddle all ways, is that I do yoga when I teach yoga, but when I don't teach yoga, I don't do yoga.
I'm a yoga instructor,
so it's kind of
a
cheat, right?
Yeah.
So I do it just so I can do it myself, right? So that's kind of a cheat in a way.
Yeah, it keeps you in that mental place when you're having to teach, right? So
I know I don't get all the benefits, right? You're like, I'm telling them, like, inhale, but like, that's okay.
Shavasana.
Yeah, I know, right? Yeah, you're on your phone looking for a quote. Yeah. Let me end this with, everyone relax.
Oh, it's so true. And then what is your kill? Like, what are you just totally over?
There's so many things I'm over. I'm over... because I learned I don't have to be gluten-free. I'm over that. I'm over a lot of meat or any of these paleo carnivore bullshit. I'm not a cryotherapy person. I'm not an ice bath person. I hate
I don't know what the science is behind that, but I
love cold dips. But I also have ADHD and I get like a huge dopamine like boost from it. So it's like worth it.
Yes. I'm over those TikTokers or anyone else who wants to like instantly tell me what to eat, think, feel, or do. Mm-hmm. I guess the book has really, really, really sharpened my ability to be like, that's bullshit. You know, like so many things are bullshit. And you can show me the study and I'm going to read the study. And I'm going to find out because one study seriously did have 4 men in like Nigeria as their trial participants. And I'm like, for something lupus related. And I'm like, oh, this is crazy. So I think it's bullshit that people try to act like they know something when they don't. And that should, can we not make that criminalized? Because it's wrong.
Well, and it just, like you said, with lupus, like everybody's experience is different. People react to different things differently. I'm constantly seeking like tips and tricks. However, I bring them on as quickly as I let them go because, you know, you find what works for you, right?
Yes. That's what we have to allow people to be like, take it. That's what I think I said that in the book, like, take it, take whatever you want. Mm-hmm. You don't like it? It's okay. Get rid of all of it. It's okay.
And don't exhaust and stress yourself out trying to do everything because that doesn't work either.
Don't spend all your money on these things.
It's just
a waste. Yeah, I think there's a lot to be found in simple, small things that we do every day. We just think we need to do some grand, you know, ideas out there. And it's really, you really don't. But we don't care because that's not boring. I mean, that is boring and that's not sexy and that's not Instagrammable.
Well, and
while I walk today.
at the end of it, sometimes it's just like simple as just trying to find joy, even no matter what you're dealing with. And that is different for everybody, because at least that moment you can feel good.
I put in the book a self-care formula of, here's my self-care formula. Do whatever the hell you want to do, as long as it doesn't hurt someone. Two, is legal in your city or country. And three, brings you joy.
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever it is. Like, I don't care. Like, why would I care in the best way possible what the hell you do?
Yeah.
Works for you. You're not being a big asshat on Instagram. Great. You go. Spend all your time there. It brings you joy. Great.
Mm-hmm. Totally.
Yeah, I think the world could use a little bit more of that. We'd be in a lot better place if everyone just minded the fucking business.
Yeah.
Like, you do you.
Yeah.
And now everyone can live happily.
Yeah. You all wear your underwear on your head. Like, awesome. We saw tons of that during COVID. I don't know about in Canada, but we saw them with people wore underwear on their face. I mean, it's just bras on their face. Like, you just, all right, you just walk. Like, it doesn't bother me.
It's hilarious.
We are unique.
So, and just kind of to wrap things up today, Amanda, if you ran into someone that just walked into the doctor's office with a fresh lupus diagnosis, you know, just your go-to words of advice, you know, and that doesn't have to be like, you know, it can be whatever you, however you feel, but like what advice would you give to them?
Mm-hmm. I would hug them. You know, I would say, I'm sorry. And then I would tell them that they're not their lupus. They can be much more. And that the good news is that lupus may have stolen a big chunk of their life, but the other part remains in their hands.
Yeah, and that's beautiful.
I'm their new friend. You know, call me if you need me. I got you.
Well, and you're a perfect example. Absolutely. Yeah. You're a perfect example of someone that, you know, has just continued to, you know, gain momentum and become an author along the way. So
I'll try. If I had a tombstone, it would read, "There lies Amanda. She tried."
Yeah.
It's all you need. But I won't.
It's all you need.
Yeah. That's right.
Perfect. Well, thanks so much for joining us on today's show.
Thank you. You guys are my favorite I've had yet. Thank you so much.
Hey, girl, we see you. And we want you to join our community where we can connect and continue the conversation.
Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at My Invisible Disease Podcast, because no one should go through this alone.
Thank you for listening. And for links, resources, or show notes, you can check us out at myinvisibledisease.com.